Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Zero Emissions Corsa E with a range of up to 337 kilometres, it's simply electric.
In the studio with me is our regular science expert, Dr. Shane Bergen. Hello again, Shane. Nice to see you. Physicist and assistant professor in science education at UCD. You've been looking into colour for us, which is fascinating. And the minute I mentioned it this morning at 10 o'clock, we had some text messages coming into us asking us a couple of questions about colour and how we see it. First of all, I want to ask you, what role did a previous lockdown play in what we know about colour?
Yeah, good morning, Claire.
Good morning.
In 1665, Isaac Newton, the well-known scientist, had to escape Cambridge as the plague was doing the rounds. And lockdown was the solution back then as well as it is now. And so he escaped to the countryside. And being a very privileged man, he could spend a lot of time in his garden shed experimenting. And one of the areas he was most interested in was light and the nature of light. He wondered, given that we could see things, was this something that was happening purely in our heads? Or was this light somehow out in the world? And so the first thing he did was stuck a knife, can you believe it, into his eye socket.
What?
Yeah, he didn't go blind, but he didn't uncover the nature of light in doing that experiment. Fortunately, he moved on. He darkened his shed and created a tiny pinhole in one of the walls through which sunlight shone, and it created a very clean ray. And he did experiments with that. Famously, he put a prism, a kind of a triangular piece of glass, in the way of the ray of light, and it fractured into the rainbow. So it made all of those colours. And he was a very clever man. So he thought, well, maybe the prism is creating the rainbow. Maybe there's something in the prism, like impurities or something, and that causes all of these colours. So he stuck a second prism in the way, and he was able to recombine the colours back into white light. And that was the very sort of beginning in modern times of our explanation as to what is light. So the stuff that comes from the sun is made up of all of the colours of the rainbow that we see on a sunny and showery afternoon.
So where does colour come from? What do we know now?
Well, we know that, well, lots of objects have colour, as we know. So the microphone here in front of me is the RTE blue that listeners will know. But if I were to turn off the light, it's black, right? So it doesn't give off light itself. Light shines upon it and it absorbs all of the colours except the blue, and it reflects that. And my eyes and your eyes are evolved to see the colour within it, because we have something called cones in our eyes. You've heard of rods and cones, mm-hmm. perhaps. We have three cones in our eyes. So they're red, green and blue. So it means we can pick up those colours and combinations of them.
OK, so that's where colour comes from. It's absorbing everything else and mm-hmm. reflecting back the one that's left. Not a lot of listeners will remember, a lot of listeners will remember rather, this big social media controversy about colour, the dress that people were seeing, looking at it and seeing a different colour from other people. And it was sort of 50-50, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's this famous image of a two-tone dress. It was striped horizontally.
Yeah.
And there was a sort of a black and blue colour that people were seeing, or a white and gold. And people were really like, you know, there was two camps on Twitter about this, and people were saying, but it's clearly, I can see it being white and gold or black and blue.
And there were a few since then as well. There was a trainer, I think.
That's right.
A runner. So why does that happen? What's going on there?
Well, you see, I suppose we shouldn't believe everything we see, right? So we take sight as perhaps the sense that we will be fooled most easily by. So we believe everything that comes into our eyes. But we forget that our brain is doing a certain amount of processing. So it's sort of filtering and trying to make sense of the light that's coming in. It's something called color constancy. So your brain looks at an image very quickly and it has to decide, based on having seen similar things before, what color is everything. And because of that particular photograph being taken in an unusual lighting, so the background lighting was very unusual, it fooled half of the people's brains into thinking that it was white and gold. It really was blue and black. It was a much darker colour. And so if you were to have it in front of you and hold it in your hands, you would recognise its true colour. But because of the way the photograph was taken, it fooled an awful lot of people.
Certainly did. Do we all see the same number of colours then?
Well, for humans, most of us do, unless you're colorblind, which men predominantly are. Well, not about 10% of men are colorblind. But I think more interestingly, you could look at the animal kingdom. So if you I was walking on the pier the other evening in Dunleary, it was a beautiful rainbow as it was a sunny and showery evening. And you could see the seven colors of the rainbow quite clearly. But there was dogs on the pier. And I was chatting with the person I was with, and we were saying the dog can't see all those colours because they don't have the same colour receptors in their eyes. They have a much more limited rainbow that they see.
But they're not colourblind, because we were always told that dogs were colourblind and they couldn't see any colour. But that's not quite true, is it?
They're kind of partially colourblind. So they don't have the red receptor. So they wouldn't see the red end of the rainbow. But if there were birds there, they'd see colours that we can't see. Mm-hmm. So they have the ability to see colours of light that our eyes are unable to pick up. So because we have three colour receptors in our eyes, the red, green and blue, we can see mixtures of those. So we can perceive about 100 different colours. But dogs can see fewer and little birds can see far, far more. Their world is far more illuminated than ours is.
How do we know this? That's the other question. How do we know what birds see? But that's about a whole other item, right? Can we talk about colour blindness? Is it possible to cure it or to change it or to alter colour blindness?
So there's a professor in the United States who has worked with monkeys who can basically see the same sort of spectrum as we can see, the same colours. And he took some colorblind monkeys and he restored their red receptor. So basically he was able to inject something into their eyes, and he was able to turn on a red receptor in their eyes, which is incredible. So he was able to give them sight they didn't have before. And it goes back to your question a moment ago. How did he know? Right. Yeah. Well, what he did was he had a big sheet, and in it he had a new colour that ordinarily these monkeys wouldn't have seen. And if they were to hit it, they get food. Uh-huh. Right. And so after he had created the extra colour receptor in their eyes, it took some time. But eventually the monkeys started to see this new colour, and they recognised that if they touched it, they'd get food. And so he's now exploring the possibility of doing similar things to humans. But I think, interestingly, he's also looking at giving us sort of superhuman sight. So instead of just having three colours, what if you could have four receptors in your eye? And he postulates that some women may actually have this, because the genes that we get from our parents to start the colour receptors in our eyes come through the chromosome that the women have two of, that men have an X and a Y and women have two X's. And basically what he says is there may be two sets of genes, one of which is switched on and one of which is switched off. If somehow the two of them could be switched on in a woman, she may have an additional photoreceptor and be able to see colours that other people can't see.
But that birds can.
Birds might be able to see them too. So, yeah. And actually, his experiments have been focusing on people who are artists or interior designers, people who work with colour a lot, in order to see
Makes
if
sense.
They have that extra colour receptor.
Tom was in touch earlier on and he said that he's been told he's completely colour blind, but yet he can identify every colour on a colour chart. Now, I don't know how come that would be.
Tone. It's probably tone.
OK.
So it's a very good question. If an alien were to arrive, would they know what something red was? If they know, like, you know, if basically if an alien was living in a black and white world and all of a sudden you were to give them a red apple, would they know what that was? Would they recognize it as red? And so the importance of having words for colors is very important. You look at the tones of these things, you know, the hue, the black white hue. So I imagine your listener there is able to distinguish those colors because of the tones, the black white level.
It's quite a difficult thing to discuss because it's so subjective, isn't it?
It's a perfect example of this, of the subjectivity of science. So it's quite philosophical to think, you know, is the red that you see the red that I see? And it's like, because it gets to that question that you asked, but how would you know, right?
Yes.
And so things that we believe are objectively true in science, often with a little bit more interrogation, turn out to be far more subjective. And so it's a juicy philosophical question for us to mull over.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact, you know, as you were saying there, that there may be another spectrum, or we may be missing part of the spectrum that other people can see, is fascinating to think about, really, that we may be missing out.
Yeah, and there's an awful lot of light we can't see. So listeners are tuning in at around 89 on the dial, as they used to say, for RT Radio 1. And that corresponds to a radio wave, which is a type of light. But our eyes are not sensitive enough, not nearly sensitive enough to see that, because the wavelengths are very, very different to the visible light that we can see. So we only see a tiny fraction of all of the light that's given out by our sun, which is remarkable.
We get a text. I could have predicted this was going to come in. Bulls seeing going for you if you wear red.
What's
true?
That?
Is it true? You know, a bull in a field, if you wear red, you know, red rag to a bull.
Yeah, bulls are colourblind. Yeah. So
that's not true.
It's the movement that they're attracted to. Yeah. So a bull would have a sight that's probably quite similar to a dog. So and the reason is that they don't need that red light in order to survive in their world. So if you think about, well, the birds having that broad spectrum, why do they need it? So they need it in order to hunt and to find a mate. And so flowers have colours that we can't see, that the birds can see. And it's all sort of symbiotic and set up. But the bull, he or she doesn't need to see colours, certain colours, in order to survive and get on in their world. So they have a more limited spectrum.
So it's all a lie. The red rag to a bull thing is not, there's nothing in that. Someone else wondering if the spectrum, the additional spectrum, is why women have 7,000 different words for the colour pink. I think that's very tongue-in-cheek, very tongue-in-cheek. Shane, thank you very much. Fascinating as always. That's Dr. Shane Bergen from UCD.